The first phase of lots at the housing development at 22nd and Wheatland in Hays have sold. Grow Hays Executive Director Doug Williams shares with us an update on this episode of the Post Podcast.
I think it's good news. I suppose it's good news and bad news, but we have now sold out officially in Tallgrass. 36 lots that became available last September have now sold out, and we will have new homes on all of those lots sometime, probably by the end of the year. Maybe a few will slip over into 2023, but pretty close to being completely built out by the end of this year.
That's awesome. You know, we've talked a lot about this, and we talk a lot about it doesn't go as fast as you want, but those 36 houses coming onto the market, you know, I know that we have so much need, but how much of an impact is that going to make?
Well, not enough, as we've talked about before, but it does have an impact because of those 36 homes. It's interesting, the cross-section of people who are buying them, and the builders, I've talked to all of them, and they all have waiting lists. You know, they've got them sold before they get them out of the ground, and waiting lists of people that want them. But it's an interesting cross-section. Some people are moving up, selling an existing home and moving up into a home. Some people are downsizing. There's some of that going on. A fair number of people that are coming from out of town, and quite a few first-time home buyers too. So we've kind of got a cross-section, but inventory on the market helps relieve this supply and demand problem we have, which is the biggest reason why prices are where they are and why it's difficult to find a home, is because we have such little supply of both homes to live in, but also apartments and that type of thing. So everything we can add to the market helps. And there's projects going on and coming up, and all of that helps this supply and demand problem.
Very good. You know, I'm wondering about the price. Initially, I think these things were pegged at 175 to 250, and I know that had to get bumped up a little bit for construction costs, just because the cost went up. They couldn't make a profit at that point. But now I'm curious about not only how that's shaping up, but then the interest rate talks. Is that going to impact the future homes as well?
Well, I wish I had a crystal ball to know for sure, but yes, initially we were pricing them from 175 to 225, and then we hit the huge increase in building material costs and things. And the policy out there now is it just has to be 225 or less. And I don't think there are any going up out there that are less than 225. That's just really not possible right now, because we are effectively, you know, the lot cost is lower than market because of Heart of America's willingness to do this development and finance it in a way that they can sell the lots at a much lower price. Otherwise, it would be, you know, 250. But at this point in time, all homes have sold for 225 or less. And as we move to phase two, we're going to have to see if we can hold that price. There are obviously, we've gotten some construction cost estimates, some bids on phase two, the next 18 lots. And as you can imagine, they're all higher. But we hope to hold the prices down as low as we can, because there is such demand. And even with, you mentioned the interest rate increases, that has cooled off our market a little bit. But in this particular range, for a new home for $225,000, we'll sell as many of those as can be built. I'm confident of that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at building outside of Ellis County yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I was seeing those prices, and the discussion that I was reading was, why is it so expensive? But it really boils down to a lot of different factors. But as you say, you get lower than that, and it's darn near impossible to actually do anything.
It really can't be done unless you change something radically in terms of the way the construction methods that you use or the density of the development. I was in a development in Wichita recently, and the lots in Tallgrass are about 61 or 62 feet by 125 feet. The lots in this development are 34 feet by 80 feet. So clearly you're getting a lot more homes in a more confined area, you know, much denser construction. And that's happening because the cost of infrastructure and the cost of land are just out of sight all over the country. And so the only way to drive that cost down is to go with smaller lots. And then also the type of construction, obviously, if you've got a 34-foot lot, you have to go up versus out. And it is cheaper to build up, you know, two stories than it is to build a big ranch, rambling ranch home. So those are some of the things that I think the future holds in our community and in all communities, just because of the cost that of what it is. It's running about $1,200 a linear foot to put in street, curb and gutter, water and sewer. So in a 60-foot stretch of lot, that's $72,000. Now you split that because you've got a lot on each side of the street, hopefully. So that's $36,000 a lot just for the infrastructure to, before you even recover any cost of your land, as well as the cost of construction of the home and that kind of thing. So that's why we use creative financing methods for those infrastructure costs, like the RHID and some things like that, to try and help bring these costs down. But it's just very expensive to develop and to build right now.
Yeah, I want to go back to the kind of the start of this. We talked a little bit about people moving and the diversity of the folks that are moving into these homes. I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about how this all kind of fits into this term that I've heard pop up more and more recently. This is the right-sized homes. It's getting maybe old, or not old, but older folks that are retired that aren't wanting to be in that 5-6-bedroom house anymore, getting them into a right-sized house and then getting the family in there, and how that kind of all comes together.
Well, it's important that we recognize that different demographics have different needs. You know, like as you noted, there are people in larger homes that don't need that much house, don't need the cost associated with that house. They're looking to downsize. But unfortunately, we really haven't had a lot of good alternatives in our community in the last 10 or 15 years. This provides that alternative, this price range and this type of home. Some of them are on slabs. You know, zero entry. You don't have to go through a lot of steps to get in and out of the house. Those are ideal for that type of a prospect for a home. By the same token, there are people who are looking to maybe buy their second home, move up, and some of these homes have basement, which gives you a lot of expandability out there. And so they may sell a house in the 125 to 175 range, which we need more of, and move into one of these. So it goes back to this whole adding inventory to a market gives people more choices and ultimately will soften prices.
Yeah, do you think, I know there's a lot of construction on apartments going on in Hayes, and maybe you want to share an update on that as well, but I wonder how that might impact the housing market. Are we going to see folks, as those apartments become available, more houses come for sale, or do you think that that's a separate kind of demographic?
I think apartments are primarily separate demographics, although the Ellis Estates Edition, which is 42 units, and that absolutely appeals to the senior demographic and people who might be wanting to sell their home, not want to own anymore, and want to rent someplace where the maintenance and that kind of thing's taken care of. And then the other apartment construction, the fourth and fort project, which is 36 units of 1 and 2 bedrooms, that's more student, young couple oriented. But again, as we add this inventory, it means that other things may open up. And so people will be able to find appropriate housing for their specific needs and not be stuck where they are because they don't have choices.
You know, something we haven't talked about for a while, you down there at Grow Hayes have a pretty cool program, a housing rehabilitation program. And I know at one point when the housing market had gotten so tight, just nobody was taking advantage of it. I wonder if anybody's on there now.
Not right at the moment. That's a challenge. Because of the tight market, homes that would be potential rehab prospects, they rent anyway. You know, people are desperate to find someplace, so they'll rent a home even if it's not in good repair, and even if it would be a great prospect for our rehab program, it stays rented, so the owner has no motivation whatsoever to sell it and be done with it when they can get good rent out of it. Or the prices have become so high that it's not economically feasible to do a rehab on it because you've got to have some room to make those improvements and be paid for your labor and hopefully make a little bit of profit so you can go on to the next one. So I think these interest rates going up, the softening of the market, and then some additional inventory to the market should help us in that program and get some more prospects. But at the moment, we don't have anybody, but we'd love to attract somebody, and if somebody's got a project, we'd love to talk to them. It's a great deal, 9 months interest-free loan, The only qualification is the house can't sell for over $175,000 when it's done, and it has to sell to an owner-occupant.
Do you think there's any potential changes coming to that in the future, maybe to entice people? And I'm thinking specifically on the price point.
In terms of that program?
Yeah, having to maybe bump that up to 225 or so.
You know, it's interesting. We bumped it twice. We originally were 135. We bumped it to 150, and then we bumped it to 175. And yes, I think that's probably something we will have to take a look at, unless this market corrects to some degree, and people can actually buy a home, fix it up, and sell it in that 175 range. We probably will need to look at that and reevaluate what we do with that.
And that's countywide. That's not just Hayes, right?
It is. We've done a couple of projects in Ellis. We've done two in Victoria, one in Ellis, and 10 or 11 in Hayes. And it's countywide.
I'm curious, any other housing updates from maybe Ellis or Victoria, the smaller communities outside of Hayes?
Well, they were looking at options. You know, the old nursing home property in Victoria has been looked at for potential housing. Difficult to take old buildings and renovate them and do it in a cost-effective way.
Yeah, and that building, it's solid concrete brick construction,
it's
right?
It's a fortress.
Yeah.
but it takes a combination of, you've got to get into the building at the right price, which that particular owner is. You have to be able to get some grants and some help on some things, much like the St. Joseph School project. You know, it takes a lot of pieces to that puzzle to make it work. But we know there's a need for housing, and we know that's a possibility. Ellis, the same way. We've got a housing development, 40 lots in South Ellis that are ready to be developed, but getting somebody over there to put in the streets and order the transformers from Midwest Energy, which have a one-year waiting time now. So just lots of obstacles to get it done. It's not simple to do.
Sure. You know, speaking of the rural communities, there are even more rural areas out here in Ellis County and beyond. I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about that. Why don't we see houses going up in places like Shinshin or Munger or Catherine when there's this massive shortage going on?
I think it's a matter of infrastructure in those communities. You know, streets, water, sewer, those systems may or may not exist. In Ellis County, if you're going to put in a septic system, you have to be on at least 2 acres or more to put in that septic system. In some parts of the county, availability of water is challenging. Not necessarily in Munger or Shinshin or some of the smaller communities, but certainly in the country, there are some places where getting water is difficult. The rural water district, I don't believe right now, is selling taps. So even if there's rural water in the area, you may not be able to get on their system. And you may or may not be able to get a well. So those are some of the inhibitors that stop some development in those areas. The other, it's a challenge to build sometimes in those areas just because it's a little bit further out. So you've got to get your subcontractors to drive out there and do things. And those communities are close enough that really isn't a big deal. But it just, there's a lot of factors that make it a little more difficult to build in those communities than say the city of Hayes or even the city of Ellis or Victoria.
Sure. Yeah, and I would imagine just the transportation piece of that's going to add cost. And then you have to, it's not a cheaper proposition if you want to build in a smaller town, which you would, I mean, it's kind of intuitive, but that's the way it's going, right?
That's true. Typically, your land costs will be less. That's where you make it up is in land cost. But your other construction costs may be more. That's why in a lot of rural areas you see, I mean, if somebody's out in the country, some of the pre-manufactured homes are very common out there because it's just hard to get all the pieces together to build a home out in the country. And it's much easier just to buy a pre-manufactured home and move it out there.
Sure. Well, Doug, I tell you, we've got just about a minute left or so. Any other updates down there from Grow Hayes you want to share?
Well, I always like to talk about Brief Space where things are really booming down at Brief Space. We're almost full, but we do have some spots available. We've got a good cross-section of permanent tenants as well as people that come on a daily basis once in a while and in and out and that kind of thing. And so welcome anybody to come down and see the space and see if it might fit for you. I know we've had a couple of people this summer who said, my kids are home for the summer. I typically work from home, but I can't stand it anymore and I've got to have some place to go. So that's been interesting. So if that's your situation, come down and see us. It might be a good spot for you.